I think we're going to be crossing to Wellington shortly, even now perhaps, to talk with Simon Sweetman about the documentary and play some Dylan tracks and talk about this 14 set. I can't even say it, Simon. What is it, 14?
Well, if you still have CDs, it's a 14 CD
set.
That's right, a 14 disc set. Yeah.
How many people still have CDs? Quite a few.
Yeah, I would hope so.
All right, so you've only seen the trailer, obviously.
I've seen the trailer of the film. I've listened to some of the music. Obviously, lots of it already exists in various forms. So, you know, it's cleaned up versions. It's all in one place for you. But, yeah, this is a very famous period of Bob Dylan. The Rolling Thunder review in 1975 and 1976 when he basically decided to go on the road and try and put the emphasis on the music. I think he was a little bit disgusted with himself and for buying into the big stadium tour circuit. You know, he went on the road with the band in 1974 and played big stadium shows, and he just felt disconnected from the audience. So he wanted to try and do something about that.
But 14 CDs? What does it encompass one tour?
Yeah, so you're getting lots of the different. I mean, and this is where we're at with Bob Dylan fandom now. I think these sets do exist for the Trainspotters primarily. In 2016, there was a 36 disc box set from the 1966 World Tour. So,
This is nothing.
If anything, they're getting smaller, Karen. Yeah, exactly. So right. It's all about complete shows for completists. In this case, 10 of the CDs are taken from the individual shows. 3 of them are rehearsals. So that's very rare. That's totally for the nerds like me. And one of them is labelled rare. So that's bootleg recordings from the audience. It's some of those one-off performances, like, you know, this obviously when a person does an artist does a tour, the set list doesn't change from night to night that often, but Dylan would, in this case, he would slip in a new song every now and then. So there's a CD where those songs have been isolated and caught. So, you know, there was a couple of occasions where he only played a song once or twice on the whole tour. So, you know, some of this music was officially released in 2002. So the long-running Bob Dylan bootleg series has been going since the 90s and is multiple volumes. And in 2002, they put out a double disc that gave you the highlights, but that was taken from all sorts of different shows. This is totally nerd stuff, but I think the really exciting thing is the Netflix documentary that Martin Scorsese has compiled and directed.
I was just going to say, a great royalty haul from all those recordings that have been put out.
No doubt.
I mean, massive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely massive. But let's get back to the documentary. Mm. We've got the trailer here, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of it. Let's have a listen.
Summer 1975. Rumour came around that the inspired Dylan was back, gathering all of his forces.
I want to tell you something.
The idea was to put a tour up.
And we should be playing 20,000 seats. But instead, he wanted all these small venues.
We're really running short of time. Want to introduce Bob Dylan?
Boy, sure hope he gets to Boston on time.
Where have you been?
The tour was a catastrophe.
It's hard to separate fact from fiction there. What's going on in there?
So, you know, this is, well, you, as you often do, Karen, you had the right answer when you correctly identified that Blood on the Tracks is really the single Dylan album that matters. And so he had just released this when he went on that tour, this Rolling Thunder tour. And then on the other side of it, he releases an album called Desire, which might be the second best album. So, as I say, it's a golden period for him as a songwriter. It's really the great period that exists after that colossal outpouring of, you know, material from the 1960s.
But in that Scorsese documentary, though, is someone playing a young Dylan or playing his management, or how's that working in the doco?
No, this is actual documentary footage. So, you know, some of this, again, some of this has been released in various bootleg versions. There was the infamous 1978 film Ronaldo and Clara, which is the documentary footage, and Dylan tried to turn it into an impressionistic narrative. It was about a 4-hour-long film, and it was a failure. So this strips away all the nonsense, I think, and gives you, you know, from what I'm seeing of it, it gives you an understanding, hopefully, of what he was trying to achieve with this tour, which was to create a packaged bill. So it's, you know, the shows were really long. They were 3 and 4 hours long, but he was taking some of his heroes on the road with him. People like Roger McGuinn from the Byrds, people like Rambling Jack Elliott, even Woody Guthrie, you know, obviously one of his absolute idols. And then Joan Baez, his former lover and big inspiration in songwriting, collaborator and duet partner, Joni Mitchell, Patti Smith. So it was about him trying to share the bill and just say, let's celebrate music. You know, the thing with Dylan at this point is I think he sort of knew that he had these really great songs, but he was a little bit road shy because this was his first, you know, proper ramble, you know, tour. A bit of a ramble was the idea, but this was his first proper tour in some time. There had been the shows with the band for the previous album, but that was him buying into something he didn't believe in. So this is him sort of establishing himself. And it's interesting because today is actually the 31st anniversary of Bob Dylan's most recent tour. He started a tour in 1988, June the 7th, called the Never Ending Tour. He hasn't stopped that tour. It's still going. It's, you know, he takes a month or two off the road now and then. But regardless of whether he has a new album or not, he just travels around the world playing shows. And I think, in a funny kind of way, the Rolling Thunder review was a blueprint for what he got going in the late 80s and carried on with.
I got a lot of texts through with people's favourite songs. We'll play a bit of music in a moment. But this one says, Bob Dylan's ex, Joan Baez, says he was her inspiration but doesn't care if she never sees him again, and sends a link to a Sun article.
Yeah. Well, I think Joan Baez is pretty good at helping to sell this documentary by sharing things like that in soundbites. I've interviewed her before. She's fantastic. I mean, she's an enormous, I mean, speaking to Joan Baez was like trying to interview a mountain. You know, she's an incredible talent in her own right, but she understands that mercurial nature of Bob Dylan so well. And you know, they made a lot of special music together. What you'll see when you get to see this Martin Scorsese documentary, and if you listen to some of the music on this box set, is 10 years after they were any sort of item and had worked together, here they are on the stage again, performing some of these well-known Dylan songs, just the two of them in the middle of each show. The second half of the show would start with just the two of them on stage, really emotional moments. You can see some of this footage, you know, bootleg versions of this footage has been around on YouTube for years, and some of the official documents that have come out. And it's really, really compelling storytelling, musical storytelling, not just obviously Dylan's lyrics and the songs, but the framing of them in this concert tour.
Okay, let's play a little bit. And this text has just come through, and many people have chosen this one. I'd have to say this is right up there too, Tangled Up in Blue.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. She was lying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all. If her hair was still red. If folks didn't sit their lives together, sure was it gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress. Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And he was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on his shoes. Heading out for the East Coast, Lord knows he paid some dues. Getting through. Tangled up in blue. She was married when they first met, soon to be divorced. He helped her out of a jam, I guess, but he used a little too much force. And they drove that car as far as they could, abandoned it out west. Splitting up on a docks that night, both agree on it was best. And she turned around to look at him as he was walking away, saying over her shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue, tangled up in blue.
We all know who that is on RNZ National. It's Bob Dylan. I'm talking with Simon Sweetman about a new documentary directed by Martin Scorsese, which is coming out next week on Netflix, combined with a 14-CD box set. And, Simon, you're obviously a huge fan.
Yeah, I am. You know, you can probably hear me sort of breathlessly trying to get through as much of the Dylan trivia that I've assembled. But that song there, Tangled Up in Blue, that version, that solo acoustic version, that's the very first thing I remember hearing of Bob Dylan's. You know, probably after that I found out that I obviously knew, you know, I was probably already singing Blowing in the Wind at school and that sort of thing. But I remember...
That's going to be my least favourite.
Absolutely, I agree, you know. But I was watching, as a kid, a documentary about, at that point, I think they were celebrating 25 years of rock and roll. So the documentary went up until sort of the late 1980s. And actually, it was Dennis Hopper, who was on some of the Rolling Thunder review shows. He's narrating this documentary, and he says, in the midst of all this madness in the 70s, Dylan went his own way, as he always did. And it cuts to him playing what we just heard, that version of Tangled Up in Blue. And it was a eureka moment for me. It was, you know, I was probably listening to things like New Kids on the Block at that point, MC Hammer, you know, stuff like that as a kid. And I was just blown away by this because obviously I'd heard about Bob Dylan, but I hadn't accessed any of the great killer album tracks at that point. So shortly after that, the original bootleg series came out with a version of Tangled Up in Blue on it. And some of these great songs that people are mentioning, Blind Willie McTell is a fan favourite because it was never put on an official Bob Dylan album. It was supposed to be on the Infidels album. Well, it was recorded for those sessions and then it was left off. So, yeah, I started sort of getting into Dylan from there, and this mid-70s period has always been a favourite period for me, for the fact that the songs are great, but also these performances and what he was trying to do, how he was trying to, with the Rolling Thunder review, he was trying to create a variety show. So what we're going to see in that documentary is, you know, even if you don't like Bob Dylan's music, and I don't really want to know you if you don't, but it's a little bit harsh, but it's, you know, it's true. I can't say it any other way. What you're going to see in that documentary is this amazing pop culture intersection. You've got Bob Dylan on stage and Allen Ginsberg, the poet, is there. Muhammad Ali, the world famous boxer, is there. Sam Shepard, the playwright, is there. Patti Smith, kind of in her infancy as a poet and punk performer, is there. Joni Mitchell, already a kind of high priestess of the folk movement, is there. And all of these people are kind of working separately and together to put on the show. And they do play some stadiums as the tour continues, because one of the things that happens around this time is he writes the song Hurricane about Reuben Hurricane Carter, the boxer. And so they end up doing a giant benefit to try and, one of the first attempts to try and sort of free him and clear his name. But so you're just going to see all these different people in there. Now some people watching this on Netflix, you know, some of these people I'm mentioning, that they're dead and they're just names to people and they maybe haven't accessed them yet, but they've heard that Allen Ginsberg is important. Or, you know, someone like Sam Shepard, who only died a couple of years ago, and probably it's his last recorded interview is on this documentary. So I kind of, what I'm trying to pre-appreciate, because I haven't seen the finished film yet, the finished documentary, is just the idea that this is one of those milestones within pop culture.
And mentioning Sam Shepard, plenty of text still coming through. And best Dylan song, Brownsville Girl, a work of utter genius, hidden on the pallid, knocked out, loaded album. It's co-written by celebrated playwright and actor Sam Shepard, an elliptical, enigmatic masterpiece. You should check it out. That's from Mike Fudikowski from Masterton. You'd obviously agree with that.
Yeah, it's pretty much the best song on the worst Bob Dylan album.
Hard Rain is a great album from Rolling Thunder. Shelter from the Storm or Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again are great. That's Gav, either from Schist or Gav Schist. Idiot Wind, live at Fort Collins. And Masters of War for me, Karen, bringing it all back home, the album. Thanks, Jim Bob from Christchurch. And Hurricane, my fave. True story about Reuben Carter, the boxer, wrongly jailed for murder. We've got a bit of Hurricane, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Shall we have a listen to it?
Pistol shots ring out on a barroom gate. Into Patty Valentine from the outer hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell at one time. He could have been the champion of the world.
I did duty, says, and he throws up his hands. I was only robbing the register, you understand. I saw them leave, oh, he says, and he stops. One of us had better call on the cops. And so Patty calls the cops. And they arrive on the scene with the red lights flashing in the hot New Jersey night.
It's Bob Dylan, Hurricane. I'm talking with Simon Sweetman about Dylan, and a lot of people will be rushing to their laptops. I was going to say TVs. They don't exist these days, do they, TVs, for the Netflix documentary. Are you there, Simon?
Yeah, sorry, I am. The Netflix documentary debuts Wednesday. So at the moment, you can watch the trailer on, obviously, YouTube or on the Netflix platform itself. And loads of websites are sharing stories about it and trying to pick highlights and playing the trailer. One of the things I love from the very end of the trailer is the quote from Dylan, which is, life isn't about finding yourself. Life isn't about finding anything. Life is about creating yourself. And it might be one of those strange sort of Dylan lines, but what I think it does is it answers anyone who talked about him being a fabrication, a character. You know, the idea that he took a stage name and created a persona. There he is, owning that very idea.
Absolutely. You, in terms of his artistic sensibilities, he's got to be one of the greatest poets of our time, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of people will say vaguely insulting things like they don't really like his voice, but they will always acknowledge that they like his lyrics, or they might prefer cover versions of his songs. And that's fine, because I think, you know, he established himself as one of the great rock and roll poets, for want of a term. But you know, this period we're talking about, I think it's one of his strongest periods vocally.
How old is he now?
I think he's just turned 78.
And why do you think this is the first interview he's done for 10 years? Just can't be bothered?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you've made all that amazing music, what really do you need to say? You know, and he's out there most nights still performing it, you know, and not answering critics. Every time he goes on the road now, people say, I love his songs, but I don't even know what he's playing when he plays live, and he doesn't care. He just turns up and does his show. And I saw him play last year for the first time in, for me, I think 11 years, and I think it was actually the best time I've ever seen him.
What do you mean they don't even know what he's playing?
Well, but, you know, the voice is ravaged. He's rearranged them. He plays the songs in a different style. So some people can't recognise his biggest hits until he finally gets to the chorus and says something like, you know, the answer, my friend, is Blowing in the Wind, that song of his that you love. You know,
No. In case you've just joined us. Well, I don't mind it. I just don't absolutely, doesn't resonate with me.
I'm 100% with you on that. It's, you know, that was the weakest moment of the show that I saw last year, was he still played that song, and I wish he'd played anything else. Imagine if he'd done Blind Willie McTell, it would have been absolutely incredible.
And he avoids eye contact, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, and avoids banter. You know, he does not speak. He doesn't introduce songs. He doesn't introduce the band. I think he spoke on the last tour once or twice, and one of the times was to tell people off for taking photos of him. So he's not.
He'd probably get sick of it in his case.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not. I mean, he's done the work. He doesn't need to endear himself to any potential audience. You either are there to bow at his feet or get whatever you want to get out of the show or the album, or in this case the documentary, or you can vote with your feet and ignore it, right?
Right. So anyway, I haven't asked you the question. I mean, one is, by the sound of it, you'd have great difficulty choosing one, even off Blood on the Tracks.
Yeah,
but there must be a standout.
A standout off that album?
No, of everything that he's ever done.
It's tough. I'm pretty into, it's been mentioned already in the texts, at the moment I'm pretty into that song Idiot Wind. I've always liked it, but yeah, I just sort of think there's a ferocity to the way he performs it on the Rolling Thunder tour that really appeals.
And you could direct it at so many people, couldn't you?
yeah, absolutely. It's the perfect kiss off kind of song, yeah.
If only you could hear what he was singing about. Right, hey, Simon, that's great. And we're going to end on, what track are we going to go out with? One that you've picked?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to
more cup of coffee.
Yeah. We're going to go out with the song that I that speaks to me right now. But this has always been one of my favourites too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bob Dylan. And one more cup of coffee for the road with Joan Baez.